Cougar football fans.
40, 30, 20, 10, and that's how you do it.
This hour, First and 12 looks ahead to the 2024 season to come.
He came down with it. 12
expands again, and the BYU-Utah rivalry is back at center stage. Our hosts are Mitch Harper and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is First and 12. Happy Sunday to you. Thanks for being with us. You can always download the podcast if you miss any part of it, whatever. Go back and listen to the last hour, but we're super pumped for this hour. Mitch Harper, Alex Keery, did we get big enough to have Tim Hughes do an open for us? Mitch, did we make it this year? Is that what just happened?
Yes.
I'm excited, man.
The PA voice of the Las Vegas Raiders just intro'd us. Pretty awesome.
Tim does a great job, obviously. Tim and Amanda fame, but his announcer voice knows now. And with the announcement of the Olympics coming back, I would assume yes. Tim's going to be center stage for that, too. So we've got tons to cover here, but... we were trying to figure out, I mean, there's certainly not a shortage of things for us to be able to jump into on this. But, you know, when we start to talk about what this is going to look like next year and what the Big 12 is going to do, I don't think, even though we've talked about it, Mitch, like all season long, knowing exactly what was going to happen, at the same time, like I actually, now that I'm starting to really think about it and allow myself, now that the season is over in the Big 12 and the Pac-12, now we can actually look toward August 2nd, 2024, which is when the schools officially join. Arizona State, Arizona, Colorado, and, of course, Utah coming to the Big 12 to make it a 16-team conference. You saw at the back of the end zone in the Big 12 championship game on Saturday. It had it right there in the end zone, greater than 12, right? And not only that, it's way more than 12. And I think that it has something – I really look forward to what this conference can be. And to know that Arizona was as good as they were this year and they're on the rise, that's really, really good for the conference. Utah, of course, is going to come in as one of these, you know, maybe standard bearers. But the good news is you don't really know. That's part of what makes our job fun, right?
It is strange to stack up these programs and think this is all one league. I will admit it is unusual, but this is the new era of college football, and I think there's a bright future ahead for these programs. And I love that it's 16 teams that all are looking to become something greater than they've ever been in the 12-team playoff era. That's what's so great about moving forward. If this didn't have the 12-team playoff, Alex, this league wouldn't have as much hope and as bright of a future, because with the 12-team playoff, you know when you win this league, you're going to the playoff and you're having a chance to play for the national title and let it be settled on the field. If it was a 4-team playoff still, this would not be as pretty of a situation
in the
for the Big 12. It would be tough. So I think that injects so much hope and energy that you win this, you're going to be chasing a title. And that's awesome for this conference. And I'm very curious to see how it all transitions and the work that's going to be taking place. We're going to see the schedule come out in early January. That's according to Scott Draper yesterday, the football ops individual with the Big 12 conference, as late as January 31st, but I think we're going to see it that early January. So that's exciting to get dates on these football games in 2024. We already know the opponents, but all the work that's going to have to take place, what's the branding going to be of this league? We expect it's going to be Big 12 still, but what tweaks does your mark, you know, incorporate to really emphasize that this is the new look Big 12 with Utah, with Arizona State, and now Coach Prime, Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year, joining the Big 12. There's so much energy and so much unknowns. I'm just fascinated to kind of follow it and you know cover it and report on it, because it is going to be it's historic to have almost like a new league being created, and that's what we're going to see here coming up next year.
Let me ask you this, though, because we talked a little bit about it last hour where, you know, one of the weird things that's happened is to hear, you know, and I get the Kyle Whittingham. He's like, I'm not going to talk about like, oh, yeah, our fun new conference next year. Can't wait. You know, let me just finish this one up over here and then I'll get to that one. But it kind of came across as whatever, it is what it is. We just kind of had to do it, I guess, you know, and then the fan base sort of follows suit and goes, gets on social media and goes, "You're lucky to have us. We didn't want to be there, but we'll take it, right? And we'll have to. And you'll be blessed by the presence there." Why is there this vibe from Utah that, like, this isn't good enough? That, you know, the trucker conference, all this stuff. I mean, it's not like Utah has this this blue blood background. And you know, I mean, we could bring up all the same, you know, fighting points that people have had. But I'm like, this is a weird – that's a weird flex to have. Like, we don't need this conference, but I guess we need it, but we don't want to be here. But as soon as this temporary situation gets figured out, it's like they're living in an apartment and they're waiting to move into that mansion. It's like, come on, you know, that's not – you got to figure this thing out here. You got to lift where you stand and actually kind of, you know, win something, right? I mean, they got to get to the Big 12 and make an impact. And they can – so why not just own it and be like, yes, we're so gracious to be here. This is amazing, and we're going to kick your butts. And then if something better comes along over the next 20 years, which is what everybody's going to want to do, Mitch, try to figure it out. I just don't get the vibe of doing that right now if you're Utah.
Yeah, I don't, you know, understand that myself. I think the only thing that I point to would be the fact that they're now rejoined with BYU. I mean, that is a point of contention for Utah. They did not want to be in the same world as BYU again, because, you know, BYU has its handcuffs and it's got its issues, and there's its fair share of detractors with BYU, and they kind of defeat themselves sometimes in their potential as a program. But, you know, BYU being on even footing with Utah, that creates some potential challenges that Utah hasn't experienced in the past decade. You know, Utah has cleaned up on the recruiting trail compared to BYU, in large part because, well, they were in a power league and BYU wasn't, but also, like, to make it clear to in-state recruits, you want to go to BYU where you're not playing for anything as an independent, or you can come here and go chase a Rose Bowl, go chase a Pac-12 title, and, oh, you know, knock on the door of being in the playoff. That was a real selling point, and now it's all equal footing between BYU and Utah. Yes, Utah had the recent success, and Whittingham has established himself as one of the best in college football, but they're on the same even playing field. And that, you know, I don't think Utah wanted to embrace that. And, you know, I think it's well documented the history between these two schools. BYU is always kind of willing to just kind of take it there and, you know, embrace the rivalry and say yes, because BYU, when they push back, there's a lot of, you know, ramifications that come with BYU because they're a faith-based institution and they can be easily hated. So they're doing everything in their power to be the most well-liked team, it seems like. You know, they got the brownies, they got the ice cream, whatever it is. They're looking to do anything to be liked.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think for Utah, and I think these Pac-12 schools in general, you know, I think there was this feeling in the Pac-12 that they just felt they were better than everyone, and it was kind of a reality check. I mean, the Pac-12, when people say, "It didn't have to be this way." Well, you know, for decades they were always just sticking their nose up at everyone. And it did not have to be this way. If they accepted the $31.5 million, which was reported out there for ESPN and Fox, the Big 12 is in shambles right now. Like, we might be talking about no Big 12, and the Pac-12 is moving on and adding, you know, Oklahoma States and adding TCUs and adding Houstons. And BYU's left in the wilderness again. So,
yeah.
I mean, that is a big turn of events, what happened. The Big 12 is very fortunate. And they're survivors, though. And I think that that's one of the great things about this league is they always find a way to adapt and survive. And that's kind of the name of the game in this era of college athletics. And I think there's something to be valued there about how they just – they're fighters, and I think that's going to be the DNA of this league, and I'm curious to see if Utah and Arizona State embrace it. I think Arizona and Colorado are. Colorado is a great addition because they've got history, and I think a lot of programs, Kansas and Kent State, are very excited to rekindle those rivalries, but, you know, Utah and ASU are very kind of hesitant, but I think they should embrace it because I think they can both have unprecedented success that they didn't even experience in the Pac-12.
So I think that, you know, now that I think about it, I think Colorado is such a perfect Brett Yormark type of institution to add, right? Yeah. Where it's like, well, you know, maybe there's not a lot of substance there, but there's a lot of eyeballs, and that's kind of what we need right now. Like, you know, you think about what Coach Prime did. I mean, the SI Sportsman of the Year, right? On top of that, the football games that he was involved with, I mean, can you imagine? The biggest, most watched college football games of the season, two of them were Colorado football. That is an insane prospect to think. The most watched college football game on the history of ESPN is a Colorado State freaking football game. That is, and when you look at it, those are two not very good teams. And that's what you bring. And so I think that at the very least, you get this, you know, this PR bump from that. You get the legitimacy of a team like Utah, and now even Arizona, I think, that's on the rise. And you're going to get that. So there's a lot of questions still that I have, and we'll take on some of them later on in the hour as well as we kind of get you ready for this this new look conference as well. But I do think that there is a ton of excitement. I'm pumped for it because I do think – I wonder, though, too, because Utah fans are like, this is, you know, beneath us. But the idea that they'll just walk in and be the conference champions, how long does it take till Utah does hold that crown up? I think if they – honestly, they could do it year one because of who's returning to that team.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, though, Oklahoma, you know, they're outgoing. They're going to the SEC. They didn't get to the Big 12 title game the last 3 years. And all these programs except Texas, who didn't win a title for 14 years in this Big 12.
They weren't slouches, right.
I mean, so these programs, this league has an amazing ability, Alex, to inherit a high-end three-star like an Ollie Gordon. And because of the media resources and the resources that these universities have compared to, say, Group of Five programs, they can really maximize the potential of these high-end three-stars to where they end their careers and they're like a four- or five-star prospect. And that's kind of the difference in the Big 12. You don't get the turnkey-ready prospect. You don't. And Utah's had a little bit more of that. When you look at like a Lander Barton who just steps in day one, he's ready to go. He's a dude. But, yeah. You know, this league – has great developmental coaches like Chris Kleiman and Mike Gundy. They can scheme, and that's going to be some great chess matches between them and Kyle Whittingham. Kalani Sitake learned how challenging these coaching staffs are, and like Matt Campbell, even who people thought was on the downward slide, he had a nice bounce back, and they're going to be really good next year. So I just think there's some underrated coaching because I think far too often people look at the logos on the helmet and they just think, well, they haven't really done much nationally. Texas and Oklahoma absorbed the oxygen in this league for so many years. Well, now they're gone. And now these programs are going to take the spotlight like never before, and including Utah. Like Utah was even in a league where USC, even when they were down, it was like, USC, what are they doing? What's USC doing? What's Oregon doing? Like no one ever gave respect to Utah. Now they can take a spotlight as one of the top programs in the league. They should be excited about that component where they can be a leader of a conference.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right. Now that I think about it, you say it, this conference has a way of just doing weird things, right? Just being strange, and the outcomes are not, you know, predetermined. I mean, ask TCU, how'd it go this year, right? Like that is, I mean, and to basically have a lot of the same talent too. I mean, it wasn't like they went, yeah, we lost all 44 stars. You know, we lost our two deep on both sides. Sorry, man. Like we're not going to be able to do it. So I think that this is. There's a lot to look forward to. There's a ton of competition, and you add these four teams, you know, they're not immediately going to come in and be world beaters probably, but I could see of all these teams, Utah could be one that could make some immediate noise. Kyle Whittingham's going to have his guys dialed up. Let's take our first break of the hour here. We'll come back. We got tons to talk about here as well. We do have our power rankings coming up in just a little while, but let's jump in around the corner here, and we will get to some of the more interesting things that like I said, I've got a couple of questions to ask still. How long is it going to take for BYU to become competitive? Who's Colorado's rival going to be? I mean, my goodness, you talk about somebody who feels like they're not really fitting into the narrative right now. It's like, we thought Utah was the rival, but will the Big 12 have multiple college football bids in year one? We'll talk about all that and more. Stay right here with us. It is 1st and 12, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone, and also right here on KSL News Radio as well. Mitch Harper, Alex Keery, more to go around the corner. Stay with us.
It's a one-hour special.
This is Big 12 football, brother.
It's so good, man. I love it.
1st and 12 previews the 2024 season for BYU, Utah, and added members of the new Big 12 Conference.
We've always been greater than 1st and 10. We're 1st and 12.
The amount of people that ask me, so how would you actually get to a 1st and 12 on a game? I'm like, look, some spot foul. I don't know. Move on. Look, it's 12. It's the conference name, and it's the first year of doing it. Yeah, maybe next year will be 2nd and 16, and there would have been a procedure penalty or something. No, there would have been a grounding penalty. It's a spot foul. It's a loss
on
of Mill down.
Avenue,
boom.
Down in Tempe, there's a grounding penalty on Mill Ave. We should do a deep dive this offseason on the go-to spots. Like, we need to bring – like it's almost like two gangs coming together. You know, we got the one side of the Pac-12, Big 12. Let's bring them together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. And I was actually disappointed that you came back with good news from Eskimo Joe's that it was great. Like, because I was just hoping to clown on it. You know what I mean? Like, some other place, some Stillwater, Oklahoma. I was like, oh, it's in the middle of nowhere. Like, you know, you think about. Because people are going to look at Utah. They're going to look at Salt Lake. They're going to look at Provo, and they're going to be like, Utah, bleh. You know, people from Kansas and in Oklahoma going, Utah, what is that? Like, come on. Like, and so when you came back and said, oh, the cheese fries, dude, I'm like, come on. Didn't training table do cheese fries? Like, we're fine. I don't know. Anyway, bottom line is we should actually see if our boss, Nate, would just sponsor a full food tour prior to the Big 16 next year, to the new Big 12, and for us to be like, here we are in Manhattan, Kansas, home of 9 McDonald's. Like, I don't know how we're going to do it, but, we could always pitch something to the bosses.
Here in Waco, Texas, you can get this great chicken at a gas station.
It's Chester's, so you know it's good. Wash it down with a cool Dr. Pepper. Did
here
I tell
in Stillwater,
you
go to Love's. Go to the gas station Love's. They got great showers.
I was going to say, shower number 2 now open for Mitch Harper. Come claim your shower. Yes, it's a call it what it is. It's the flyover. Yeah. It's the trucker conference, whatever it might be, but it's going to be 16 pretty darn good football programs and really, really good basketball as well on top of all the other sports. The Big 12 of next year is going to be something pretty special, I think. And at the very least, like you brought it up earlier in the show, it's going to be very different than, you know, just imagining all these teams being together. I think you need to get used to the idea of a lot of weird teams being in conferences that we would have never imagined. The Big 12 is like a normal one compared to some of the geographies you can compare across the country going forward. So let me ask you this. I know that Utah can have some immediate success. They've already been in a Power 5 situation. So if you're a local fan here, if you're a BYU fan, how long is it going to take for BYU to have success in the conference? What does conference success look like? Obviously, you start to set your sights on things like maybe that first conference title game to play in, maybe even being a part of, if you're in that top 12 at the end of the year and you get part of that, that at-large bid into your first college football playoff bid in the 12-team setup. What does that look like, and when do you think that could be for BYU fans to finally get to that spot where they go, you're in a Power 5 conference, you're winning, and you're getting relevant?
I think three years, so 2026, and I say that because the last time BYU had a losing record, it was 2017, and it took three years for BYU to have a breakthrough year, and that was amidst a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic in 2020 with cobbling up a schedule, and what was different then, too, was that they had a quarterback that they leaned into, and that was Zach Wilson. There's no quarterback like that in the program right now, but I still will say 3 years, because I think that's enough time. I think next year's got to be, you got to get to a bowl game at a minimum, or else, you know, hot seat's going to really ratchet up for a lot of coaches, including Kalani. And I think he understands that. And, you know, he wants to be at BYU, though. And I think that there was something really kind of noteworthy at the end of the last season that, you know, players did not give up on him. I thought it was pretty neat that, you know, Eddie Heckard saying, you know, no BYU team's going to quit. And I kind of bought into that a little bit, because I just think that's something you can build off of, that they're not going to roll over for Kalani. They really believe in that guy. And so I think he's the right man for the job, but he's got to clean some things up, you know, with some just, you know, clock management and decision-making, and it'll be a little bit tougher. I thought BYU lacked toughness this year. So 3 years, to me, is kind of the timeline I look at and say, at the earliest, 2026 is when you're competing for a title. And I know that's tough, because when you know Utah's going to step in, and they're going to be in the mix from the get-go. Like, will they win? I don't know. But they're going to be kind of in that upper echelon from day one. And I think that's a tough pill to swallow for BYU fans. And I think that adds, you know, to the urgency to really get this right in a hurry. But 3 years is my timeline for the Cougs. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be hesitant to say 3 years and then, you know, and then it's a bust. But I do think that because it is such a coin toss, and you have more teams now to compete with. And so I don't know. I would think that that 3-year time frame could be it, but at the same time, I still wonder if that's going to be enough time to build the depth that you're looking for. And I do think that BYU could get left behind on the money side of things. When you talk about NIL that is competitive, when you talk about money that could bring in people that could change your entire program, I wonder if BYU is going to come around to that, which is, you know, kind of that six-figure to million-dollar range that you hear about players now. You go, I don't know if BYU will ever feel comfortable doing that, but maybe they come around. Maybe that's the only way to be able to compete, but I'm sure BYU will get creative because they know things are a little bit different.
Well, and I think also, too, with BYU is that stop thinking of the mindset of let's do more with less, let's try to just save the absolute most money we can. And I get there's value to that, but you got to just be willing to sometimes spend and dig into the pocket and go, we're gonna pay the market rate and maybe
it might
bit
be interesting. It'll be interesting.
To dig in more. Like
it'll be interesting to see what the money does to him. Man, I wonder if BYU, you changed with all that money coming in, man. You were different back then. You were scrappy, and now you think you're getting all this Big 12 money. When do they start getting a full share? When does that happen?
2025.
Yeah, well, then there you go. The year right after they start getting that full share of dollars, they're going to be good again. There you go. They're going to be competitive. All right, we'll take another break here. We'll come back when we do. Finally, here we are. Mitch and I are going to fight about some into the future Big 12 power rankings, all of the teams in next year's Big 12, where they should be slotted for the very early version of a power ranking. So stay right here. More to go around the corner. It's 1st and 12, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone and KSL News Radio.
Cougar football fans.
40, 30, 20, 10, and that's how you do it.
This hour, 1st and 12 looks ahead to the 2024 season to come.
Touchdown! He came down with it! He came down with it!
The Big 12 expands again, and the BYU-Utah rivalry is back at center stage. Our hosts are Mitch Harper and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone.
I don't know if it's just Nelly with that performance we had yesterday, but I'm feeling like we're number one. We're the number one Big 12 show around. It's been a great first season, and there's going to be a lot more content in the years to come on 1st and 12, 16-team era.
Mitch, I was waiting for Lil' Kim to pop up on the stage, dude, like just to like round it all out. You know, like I was like, where's Missy Elliott? Where's Lil' Kim? Let's have, I don't know, let's get Usher out here. Like, let's do the full crew from, like, the late 90s, early 2000s.
When I was watching it, though, when I was watching it, Nelly's performance, I thought, Alex and I are going to have a real dilema as we hammer out these Big 12 power rankings. Let's get to the power rankings. 16-team 2024. Let's get to it.
The Big 12 Power Rankings Big Board. A weekly rank of all 12 programs, from the elite to the bottom dwellers.
No matter what I do, I struggle putting Arizona near the top.
I told you not to work in these dumb Nelly puns. You're officially on suspension. Gosh, don't sing Nelly
about
our
power rankings.
I am wearing, full disclosure, I'm wearing a Band-Aid under my eye, okay? And that's how I'm approaching this, just with as much
as I just booked a round trip flight to St. Louis, so.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's get over the Nelly stuff. Way too many Nelly references. I'm sure the Big 12 is like, was that the right choice for us? And they're like, oh, absolutely. Like, come on. All right, so here's where we're going to go here, because I'm actually disappointed, because I looked at the power rankings before we started. And what we do is we'll kind of throw them out there and we wait for the other person to go, you are full of crap. You know, like we wait for the other person to call the other one out. So I'll just say Mitch put Arizona number one. And I want to say I don't feel comfortable with the Wildcats being number one yet. Now, I will also say, based off of what I'm looking at on your garbage power rankings that you put into the rundown, all right? You put Arizona, you put Oklahoma State second, Utah 3, Iowa State 4. Let's just go through the top four here. Because then I said, are you serious about Utah being behind Oklahoma State? Because I just saw like a really bad performance in the Big 12 championship game. A Big 12 championship game that, frankly, it didn't feel like Oklahoma State should have been there. And then you were like, well, what was Utah's best win? A 7-5 USC? Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma, dude, in Bedlam. And I'm like, are we talking about this year? I'm trying to project here. I'm talking about Utah with Cam Rising, the potential of, and I don't think Brant Keithy's coming back, but I do think that so many guys are returning, and the chief of which is going to be your two-time Pac-12 champion. That dude knows how to win a conference championship, and this is a conference that does not really have somebody who wants to lead out right now and be a conference champion. So I think when you talk about pedigree, including recent pedigree of being a champion, it ain't Arizona, brother. So I don't know, and I know Oklahoma State was in the Big 12 championship game this year and 2 years ago, but I don't feel comfortable with that either. I have a hard time not putting Utah at the top.
That's fair, and I think that Utah, there's a real case. I mean, there's a case for five teams, I think, to be at the number one spot in this league. I kind of considered maybe Kansas State. I think where I go with Arizona, though, is they got Noah Fifita back at quarterback. Jed Fish seems to be staying in Tucson, which is, I think, a pretty significant development. I mean, we'll see. The coaching carousel always has some unexpected twists and turns in mid-December, and who knows what opens up. But the fact that Chip Kelly stayed at UCLA and, Jed Fish seemed like to maybe be a back-channel potential hire for them, he's still in Tucson. And I think that's just a good move. Arizona is going to be a tough out. But like so many teams in the Big 12, can they maintain it when expectations are actually placed on them? These teams seem to regress in the Big 12. So, yeah, I mean, I'm okay with going Utah number one. I thought it was just noteworthy how they struggled against the worst team in the Big 12 in week two this past year. And that was with the guy that took down USC. It was just kind of a weird year for Utah. If at full strength, sure, I think Utah at number one, I'm fine with that. Because, again, they have an identity. They have consistency. And that's just something no one else in this Big 12
right.
has.
Well, like,
Utah
I get it.
Has
if,
it.
If you're going to talk about it, too, and I would say, hey, find where your great quarterbacks are in the conference and then put those people at the top. And Cam Rising coming back, that's your guy who I think you need to put at the top, but you're not far off. I think Noah Fifita actually has the highest ceiling of somebody who, I mean, we were blown away. This is a guy who threw for 545 yards and broke an Arizona record, and the dude is a freshman, right? And he has huge potential, huge potential. And so if you're going to talk about – and again, in a league where quarterbacking right now is like, it's hard to find. It's RBUs across the board right here. I think that Arizona has somebody in Noah Fifita that they knew that they were going to get somebody pretty awesome in Noah Fifita, but I didn't think they thought that he would come in for Jaden DeLora as as the backup, to try not to be, to come in and just fill in the blank for a minute. And then they were like, hey, DeLora, you're done, bro. Like, this is it. This guy has got something, man. And so I think that if you're talking like that, then fine. I think that Oklahoma State, I have no idea. What's Ollie Gordon's situation? What's Ollie Gordon doing? Is he coming back?
He's expected to be back, but I think there's a feeling, does he dip into the portal a little bit to maybe see what the market's out there? But I think he's an Oklahoma State guy, and they've got resources in their NIL department to keep him. Is it to the level that might be needed? I don't know. That's where we'll see. But, he's expected to be back next year.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Ollie Gordon coming back. I'm going to go Utah, Arizona, Oklahoma State. I'm going to go Kansas State. And I know you put Iowa State at four, but I still can't buy totally into a team that was 7-5 to be those guys, because I do think that the Wildcats are something. And I do think that they also have moved on from Will. I mean, Will Howard's moving on from them, but I think they moved on from him. Is that weird to think that?
No, it's accurate. Avery Johnson's the future, and K-State's going to thrive with him. And I think that Chris Klieman, like Kyle Whittingham, going to be one of the top coaches in this league, no questions asked. I think that West Virginia is an interesting team to me. What happens with kind of Garrett Green's eligibility, where he sits, I got to follow up on that. But they've got a really elite ground attack. They got about five different dudes that can tote the rock at a high level, and they're going to have they got a pretty good recruiting class, seventh right now in the team rankings in the Big 12. But, I think West Virginia, I think, will be, kind of back to steady ground. I'm just curious to see what goes on with Neil Brown, if he tries to move on. It seems like he's staying. And, you know, West Virginia, as they should. I mean, he was an 8-4 coach this year. He got them back on track, and maybe West Virginia can kind of get a new run started out there in Morgantown.
I was watching the digs on on so many social media platforms. You know, people were going after, you know, Mike Gundy in Oklahoma State, and I thought, you guys, these are the only ones who had the guts to freaking be that number two team in the Big 12 this year. Like, everybody else was like, I'm dipping out. I got to lose a couple weeks before the end of the season. I don't want to be in that. I don't want to be at that Nelly halftime. You know, we're not ready for this. We're going to get our butts handed to us by Texas. And, you know, to watch it, I think Oklahoma State has, the case of it there. But you're just like you had said, I do think that West Virginia is going to outperform what did we think? I don't know what we were thinking putting them at 14 at the beginning of the – and they were like a deep 14, right? Like, we should all be ashamed of ourselves. But I think that West Virginia is going to get rid of Neil Brown in the next couple of years, and he'd probably do well to be out of there. What happens with Kansas? Is Jalen Daniels – is he going to be a guy anymore down there? At the same time, like, they have a winning – culture a little bit going on right now, more than they've ever had. And I could see you swapping anywhere. West Virginia, Kansas, Texas Tech, and UCF could all be in each other's spots because that's what we have. And I agree right now, 6, 7, 8, 9, because I think they could all be somewhere in that spot. You could probably interchange them all and make an argument for it.
Yeah, Kansas brings back Jalen Daniels, is expected to bring back Lance Leipold. They just had a $35 million donation from a prominent booster. The money's kind of flowing right now in Kansas. They're
Kansas
really
has prominent boosters. You got to get on board. You got to be something, BYU fans. You got to get a prominent booster going.
You know, Texas Tech, they got a 5-star commit. They've got the number one recruiting class in the Big 12. And then UCF, they've got the most 4-star commits, 9 4-stars in their recruiting class. So UCF is loading up on talent. They might have the best overall recruiting class. It's just kind of small in numbers right now. But UCF and Gus Malzahn, they're kind of recruiting like a, you know, back half of the SEC type team. Like, they look really good. They're top 25 in recruiting this year. UCF, keep an eye on them, because I thought it was noteworthy that they got to a bowl game despite how, you know, many issues they had in stretches this year. The fact that they fought and kind of dug themselves out, because I think there was an undercurrent of, like, is Gus Malzahn checked out? Is he a guy that's just, you know, cashing checks because it's just almost like a retirement situation for him? But I think he's putting in the work. Like, you're seeing in the recruiting trail, and UCF wouldn't be surprised if you really kind of see them climb the ladder in the Big 12 in years to come.
All right, so let's go. We did our top nine there. Let's go to our bottom. Let's go to our bottom six here, or I guess it'd be bottom seven. Let's go to our bottom seven. TCU at 10, I don't disagree with. Now, here's where I think you're going to have a lot of fans argue with Mitch, because he really got this wrong. 11, Colorado, 12, BYU. You've got the Buffs ahead of BYU. They're going to get 40 new guys out of the transfer portal.
I guess it's a combination of, I'm really kind of sold on Coach Prime still. I'm buying in on him. And they've got, you know, Shedeur Sanders, if he comes back. You know, one thing about that Colorado roster, how many teams in this league will have 5-star talent at the top? They've got it with Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders. I mean, those are elite prospects, and I just think they could be, you know, instant impact guys. And you saw, like, the first glimpse of them against the Big 12 team. They outclassed TCU, and I know TCU didn't amount to much this year, but I still kind of believe in Coach Prime. I'm not jumping ship on him. I think, and if Colorado lined it up against BYU, I'd probably pick Colorado, but just because I'm a believer in the kind of the top end of their talent. So I've given them a slight edge, and I'm leaning a little bit heavy right now in how this season, you know, played out. And I know the Buffs were kind of a mess, but I'm looking at the whole body of work, and that September they were dynamite. Some of the decisions with Coach Prime and the coaching staff were kind of knee jerk, and, you know, Sean Lewis goes to San Diego State as the head coach, so they're gonna have to kind of retool the staff. But mm-hmm. You know, I'm still buying in on Coach Prime. And for BYU, I'm still buying in on Coach Kalani, too, Satake. I think he's the right guy for the job. It's just, BYU doesn't act as quick. Like, they're not going to adapt. Like, Rick George at Colorado, the AD there, like, Coach Prime, do what you need to do. Like, get it done, and I'll make it happen. Like, BYU, it's like, Kalani has to go through all this red tape, and it's like, are these people willing to be a Power 5 program or not? Like, you dreamed so much to be in the Big 12. Well, act like it now. Like, you're here. Go put out a winning product and act appropriately and act in a timely manner where it's like, quit making Kalani go through all this red tape and, like, waiting on hires. Like, let's get things done. That's why I still kind of put BYU a little bit lower.
All right. So that's, that was the only kind of argument I had there at the bottom. The rest of the way here, we'll go through them quickly. Colorado, BYU, 11-12 could be there. Arizona State, Cincinnati, I thought maybe you could swap those two because I don't really know. We're talking about being bad, but not like the worst bad.
Arizona State, though, huge upgrade.
They're on the rise. Ray Anderson,
yes, resigning at AD. That is going to be, yes, huge. I think that booster group, that NIL, and they are going to be energized because Ray Anderson suffocated that athletic department. I think Arizona State's going to be on the climb. Just kind of a thought there, but it's going to take time still for Kenny Dillingham.
ASU, Cincinnati 14, Baylor 15, Houston 16. Put Houston at 16 because I thought, without Dana Holgerson, not like you're going, hey, without Dana Holgerson, you're not going to be great. I'm just saying that's a program that's reeling. They thought maybe he was going to carry him through to shock some people in those first few years of the Big 12. Nowhere near it. Holgerson loses his gig, and Houston's got to kind of start over.
If they get Willie Fritz, though, that'd be a great hire.
Immediate
Willie Fritz
upgrade.
From Tulane would be – he would be, I don't know if he could maybe on a high end be best case scenario like a Kansas State. Like, I think that's kind of his career arc if he got into the league. So, yeah, Willie Fritz, that Houston job is very interesting because it's got tons of potential.
All right, we'll take another break here. We'll wrap things up here. We'll look at the schedule that is already kind of in place for this conference, the matchups that are the most interesting for 2024 season. Take a little jump into the scheduling matrix for the Big 12 in 2024. It is first and 12 right here. 97.5 KSL Sports Zone and did I already say that? And KSL News Radio. There you go. So both stations. Mitch Harper, Alex Curie. We'll be back. It's all brought to you by Macy's. Happy shopping.
It's a one-hour special.
This is Big 12 football, brother.
It's so good, man. I love it.
First and 12 previews the 2024 season for BYU, Utah, and added members of the new Big 12 Conference.
I love it too, Hans. I love it too, Greg. Brought to you by Macy's Grocery Store. It's first and 12. Happy shopping. Mitch Harper, Alex Carey, putting a bow on this season finale of first and 12. It's been a great first year. As we now are looking ahead to 2024 and the schedule, the full schedule with dates expected to come out early January, but we have the schedule matrix, Alex, and any games that kind of catch your attention that either BYU or Utah or someone else in the league is going to be playing next season.
Yeah, I think that right off the bat, I think if you're a BYU fan, it's just really cool too because you get another set of experiences, I think that if you were to look at it, and obviously you don't know everything that's going on, I think you have to lean straight in, Mitch. If you just do what all the other conferences do, make it as easy as you can in the non-conference schedule stuff. You don't need to put a premium on these teams. You're already playing, in 2024. You go on the road to Arizona State. Utah, Baylor, and UCF, that's a quite a travel schedule. Now, it's an easy one, too, because they only have they're doing the 4 and 5 alternating, home and road schedules. And so they only have 4 road schedules next year. And then they host Arizona. They host Houston. They host Oklahoma State. They host Kansas. They host Kansas State. That is a gauntlet. So in the future, whatever it is, I know you want to have relationships and big games. Get out of the idea, Mitch, of scheduling out-of-conference teams that make you excited. I want the boring ones. Go full SEC and play garbage soft schedules outside of your conference schedule because it's a killer during the regular season.
And don't schedule road games at Wyoming. My goodness, BYU doing themselves a disservice.
Utah's doing the same thing in 2 years, right? I mean, like, yes. What are they doing?
On the road twice in non-conference, at Wyoming, at SMU. SMU just won the AAC. They're now going to the ACC, and Wyoming, they were a thorn in the side of Texas Tech, who the following week hung with Oregon in Lubbock. So Wyoming is no easy task. BYU is going to open up the season on August 31st, 272 days from now, in Provo against Southern Illinois. That should be a win against an FCS team. For Utah, they open up the season on their kind of traditional Thursday night, August 29th, Southern Utah. And then Baylor on September 14th, that's what would think to be a league game, but it's actually a non-conference.
It's a non-conference, yeah. And you know what? That they probably wanted as a conference game now, because it could have been an easy W for them. But we'll see what Baylor figures out here. But, yeah, again, what's cool is to see all these teams. I know Utah fans, you just have to look at it like this. This is a schedule you would have never played. You would have never played. And I know you're used to playing in the Pac-12, but those guys don't want you, and you don't want the Pac-12 anyway. So you move on. You start to look at these games that you're going to be playing at home in Salt Lake and on the road in the Big 12, and it's going to be a lot of travel. You got to get used to it. But you know, obviously, Utah has the potential to be able to answer that bell. So lots of fun games scheduled in 2024. I can't wait for when the actual dates come out. Then we'll be able to really kind of sink our teeth into that one. Are we going to have a couple of off-season first and 12s on the podcast version of things, just so we can keep people up to date? There's no way we're not going to record an episode when we're down in Arlington for Big 12 Media Days, right?
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to have some podcasts, you know, spring football, maybe a summer check-in, and we're going to do this. And, you know, so keep subscribed to this feed. You know, we'll occasionally check in. Maybe I'll check in with a hoops update in March or something. But, you know, we're going to, you know, continue to follow this league like no other. And KSLSports.com, the KSL Sports app, the KSL Sports Zone, JJ and Alex, Cougar Sports Saturday. Like, I don't think there's any better outlet to cover the Big 12 than KSL
Definitely.
Sports. So we are going to have wall-to-wall coverage of this league, the 16-team era.
Absolutely. Quick thanks to Eric Cabrera, who's our awesome he was our awesome producer all season long. Eric did a fantastic job. We appreciate all the weird hours that he kept for us to be able to keep this thing going as well. So for him, our bosses as well at KSL Sports, Nate Dowdle, our program director at KSL, at the KSL Sports Zone, Lloyd Cole, program director over at KSL News Radio, Kevin LaRue. All these guys support the heck out of this thing happening, and so we appreciate all of their support and all their producers on both sides of those stations as well. So for Mitch Harper, I'm Alex Keery. We'll be back not just next season, but all throughout the offseason. Keep dialed in on the podcast feed, and we'll talk to you in the offseason and getting you ready for Big 12 next year.